Many of the protests that are following the Olympic torch around the globe involve members of the group Students for a Free Tibet. Ladon Teton is one of the group's leaders. She is in San Francisco today.
We need to be understood and heard by the Chinese government and people around the world. And that's for us. These are these nonviolent message bombs in a way. They're not meant to hurt or harm anybody, but they are meant to be in your face and to be seen and heard.
Teton says the pro-Tibet movement is becoming more and more effective at spreading its message. She says that's because young people are getting involved.
I think it's our generation, 20 and 30-year-olds, who are taking over the movement now around the world, and we know how to use the communications technology that our parents never did. So we organize through internet, through cell phones, through Facebook, and we're globally connected. And what you're seeing right now with the Olympic torch relay is that we are able to respond and organize opposition to China's Olympics, not because we are some incredibly well-funded and, you know, expert professional protesting organization or movement, but because we have so many committed people.
That's Ladon Teton. The pro-Tibet movement has diverse origins. Lobsang Sangay is a senior fellow in East Asian Legal Studies at Harvard Law School. He says the movement is truly global in scale.
The most active organization in India and Nepal is Tibetan Youth Congress. And the most active organization in the U.S. and outside is the Students of Free Tibet, who are taking to the streets. Other than that, there are many other organizations like Democratic Party of Tibet in India. And then there is also, you know, Indian Friends of Tibet. So these are the main organizations who are organizing, you know, protests, rallies around the world. All the Tibetans in exile are linked to Tibet through their family members because our parents came to India in 1959. Since then, many Tibetans have come. Actually, every year, anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 Tibetans flee Tibet to come to India, you know. Essentially, they give up their Chinese citizenship and come to India to become a refugee. And when they cross over the Himalayan mountains, they do it during the peak hours of winter so that there's less border patrol and less chance of getting shot at and killed.
Given the fact that there is this movement from San Francisco to London to Paris of exiles being activated around the issue of the carrying of this Olympic flame, the torch, how much of that is being orchestrated by the Dalai Lama himself? Is he galvanizing the crowds of exiles? Is he issuing directives? What is he doing?
He is not issuing any directives. In fact, 3 days ago, he issued a statement to the Tibetan people in Tibet and by extension outside, where he specifically said that we should not do anything to hurt the sentiments of the Chinese people.
Well, there have been, of course, some incidents of violence, nothing terribly serious, but things that are disturbing.
That's what he's appealing against. He's saying, don't resort to violence at all.
So if he is not necessarily issuing directives, but of course his presence looms large among the exile community, what is propelling their activism around the flame now?
More Chinese government failed to respond to the Dalai Lama's moderate proposal, more younger generation and nationalistic Tibetans become. And unfortunately, that's the vicious cycle where both the Chinese people and Tibetan people will get into.
All right. Thank you very much, Professor Lobsang Sangay, Senior Fellow in the East Asian Legal Studies Program at Harvard Law School. We should also just note, because it's very impressive, you became the first Tibetan among 6 million to earn a doctorate degree from Harvard Law School. That was back in 2004. Thank you again for making time for us.
Thank you so much.